Welcome to another edition of Always Right with Rochelle, the Right Now Coach. Today, I'm delighted to be talking with Jane Rubietta, author of 10 books for the inspirational market, including Come Closer, A Call to Life, Love, and Breakfast on the Beach. Welcome, Jane.
Hi, thanks. I'm so glad to be with you.
Well, I'm glad to have you here. So can you tell our listeners how you got started writing?
Well, I think I've always written something, and before I wrote to be published, I was journaling, but I finally got to the point where I just said, you know what, part of me is dying. If I don't write, this is a dangerous place to be. So I just figured I've got to do whatever it takes to see if I have anything to say. So I just got started by doing small things. I started out trying to write articles and realized, man, I can't get anything in print. So I really started, I got built publishing credits just even by selling little anecdotes and devotionals, just to build a little body of work so you can say, and I've been published in these publications.
Wow. Can you talk a little bit about the role that the writing workshops have played in your success as a writer, kind of moving from that, those first little things to books?
It has been invaluable to me. The first thing I realized was that I don't know anything. I don't have the faintest idea how to get in print. And one of my friends said, I have this brochure, and it was for the Right to Publish Writers Conference, and I thought, I am going. So I took a part-time job. I started saving my money so that I could buy a computer and I could get to that conference. And as soon as I fulfilled both of those goals, of course, I quit that job. But that's how I met my first editors. That's how I learned everything that I need to know. And it continues. I still am part of the Writers Conference every year, and every year I meet new editors, and I get everything I have on my book table is because I met those people at Writers Conferences.
Wow.
I can't say enough about it, and, you know, to say nothing of the fact, I mean, yes, they bring in editors and people who can train you, but you also are with people who have the same dream, and maybe they're further along in their dream, and so they really become just sort of mentors or encouragement along the journey. It's so good.
Wow. Well, tell me more about mentors and who your mentors are and the role they've had in your life.
One of my mentors is the head of the Right to Publish. She's the head of the Right to Publish Writers Conference, and we've been friends for a number of years, and anytime I have a question, I can ask her. And it's so important. It's just always good to have people who know more than you do in your life. It doesn't matter if you're talking about parenting or being a wife or a husband or, you know, being a professional writer. You just need somebody who's further along the road than you are. So I look for that in all of my roles. One of the best ways we can get mentors is through other books as well. I mean, you and I met because we went to a Madeline Lingle writer's workshop or a weekend, and I still remember how valuable that was, but the added benefit of having a lifelong friend, it's an amazing thing. So it's just a powerful, powerful venue to books can become your mentors. You know, I will read Anne Lamott and I will say, okay, how did she do that? So she starts out with this little story, and she ends up with this little oomph in the end of this, and it's not very long, but it's just powerful.
Wow.
And so that's how we also find our mentors, is through really good writing.
So you're learning not just from going to writers' conferences, but also from reading good writers.
Yeah.
And thinking about what are they doing.
Yeah. Yes. And I can't always figure it out, and I can't duplicate it, but it's just so important to pay attention, and that is how we find our mentors. And you just never know. Like, at one point, I needed a real-life mentor, and I sat down and thought, okay, now, who do I know? And all I could think of was this person who's written a number of books who lived, you know, maybe an hour from me. Well, we ended up in a group that meets every month, and we have been for 12 years. So I just called and said, hey, you know, I really need a mentor. and it ended up being more of a colleague sort of relationship. But it's just been so you realize you need it, and you just start asking around and looking around, and hey, pick up the phone. You just never know what might open up.
Wow. Oh, that's a great story. It reminds me of something I think about a lot as a writer, because I spend most of my time alone, which is how do you stay motivated? You know, you get up, you kind of work in your pajamas, you don't see anybody, you get your royalty check, and maybe for this book that was 10 years old, it's $8, and you're like, wow, okay,
yes.
Why am I doing this?
Yes, we are really making a difference here, aren't we? I know.
So how do you, what's your secret for staying motivated and keep, you know, keeping going back inside and digging deep and sending out another book proposal?
Yeah, it is definitely not the royalty check, that's for sure. One of my most recent statements said, when you get to $25, we'll cut you a check. this is a great way to really make a living. What keeps me motivated is that words make a difference in people's lives.
Hmm.
And I can see that. I get letters and emails saying, this changed my life. And I think that's why I do this.
Yeah.
But I also do it because writing is a way that I find out what I'm thinking.
Mm.
You know, I had to write an article on what does it mean to be, what does it mean that Jesus surrendered to the cross, and what does it mean for us? And I just thought, heck, I don't know.
Mm.
I don't have the faintest idea until I sat down and just wrestled with that baby. And so it made a difference in my life. It helped me figure out what I actually think. And it also hopefully will make a difference in other people's lives. And that is 100% of the reason why I write, besides the fact that I just love words.
Hmm. That's great. So tell me about this new book, Come Closer. I like the beach part, so I'm anxious to hear what it's about.
Come Closer is... it's 15 places where Jesus says come in the gospel.
Oh.
And I pulled one from Revelation, but 15 places where Jesus uses the word come, and what we learn about Jesus from that, but more importantly, what we learn about what he wants, what he has for us. And Rochelle, it was the most fun book I have ever written in my life. It was
really?
The most fun writing I've ever done. It was just, it was a powerful experience. Yeah.
Why was it the most fun? What made it?
I don't know. It was the first time that I really just put myself into the scriptural story, as opposed to just pulling a verse out and saying, and Paul says, blah, blah, blah. But it was the first time that I really just moved into the story and then just sort of almost acted it out, you know, as though this is happening on a stage, you know. What might have been going on in this person's life when they are suddenly... suddenly they can walk, and before that they were dying.
Yeah.
You know, and they were already dead, you know. What was that like for them? So I think that's part of why it was so much fun. But I think also it was fun because I just got to see a new part. I got to see more of Jesus than I've ever known was there before.
Hmm. That's great.
Yeah. He was very thorough. Much more so than we give him credit for being.
He was much more what?
Thorough.
Oh.
it's like this guy is really offering complete healing, and I
yeah.
have missed it all along.
Yeah.
Oh. So it was great. It was very fun. And that breakfast on the beach part is the place where the seven disciples have gone out in the boat, and Jesus has died, and he was resurrected, and they've lost him, and they are lost. And so they have this sort of regressive moment where they say, well, what the heck, let's go fishing. That's what we used to do. I guess we'll go fishing.
Hmm.
Don't catch anything. And then Jesus is there on the beach in the morning, and it's such a picture of restoration of relationship.
Yeah.
And he just, did you catch any fish? No, we didn't catch any fish. We're just failures, you know. And then Jesus says, I've got fish here. You know, come for breakfast.
Wow.
So that's my very favorite chapter in the whole book. So, but it was those sorts of moments where I just said, "Oh my goodness, he had it all figured out."
Hmm.
So it's been a fun journey, and I just love figuring. I just love putting myself into the place where you have to produce words, and you don't have any idea where they're going to come from, but they are there when you need them.
Wow. Now, how did this idea come up for you? Where do you get ideas like this?
Well, that particular one came after I had written the book Grace Points, Growth and Guidance in Times of Change, and that looks at, that's all, it's like almost all Old Testament, where we're looking at the Israelites as they left Egypt and moved into the wilderness, and then finally we get them to the Promised Land. But, you know, they were just wily. They were always, you know, always in the wrong place at the wrong time and saying the wrong things. And I just thought, I am so like this. But all through the scriptures, God is saying, I love you. Mm. I love you. I love you. And I was just taken by the hospitality of God. So I thought, well, I'd like to write a book like that on the hospitality of God. Well, I could not figure out how to get hold of that until I came to the Gospels and I realized Jesus is constantly inviting us in.
Mm.
Come, come, come. I thought, there it is. There it is. So, and then it's been to find that pattern of come from him was a really fun thing.
Cool. So now talk a little bit about the process, kind of beginning to end of a book. What happens? What's the timeline like? I know that people think, you know, you kind of write a book and then like 2 weeks later it comes out.
I know. And voila, it's a bestseller and you can buy a big house.
On the beach.
And turn your heat up.
Yep.
From the idea, I mean, I had that idea for Come in, I would say that was like 2003.
Wow.
And maybe it was even sooner than that. And then, so your idea may just be sitting there, you know, sort of like a seed that hasn't germinated yet in the ground forever. And then finally came to the point where I said, this is the next book that I want to be writing. And I put it together as a proposal. And then, of course, you have to do your sample chapters. So I tried to put all that package together to get it into, that's when I decided it's just time to go with an agent. So I signed on with an agent and have been so glad to have done that, but I don't think it would have made any difference any sooner to have done it, you know, 10 books later. Okay, this is good. And so, but it was even from that point, it took my publisher so long to actually get me to the contract stage, even though they said, we want it, we're doing it, and the book is due, your book is due August 31st, and I actually had the contract in hand signed in June.
Wow.
So
August 31st of what year?
Let's see, what is this year? This is 07, 06, that would have been 05, no, 06.
So you didn't get your contract till 2 months before the book was due.
Yeah, so the theory is, of course, that I was continuing to write. Yeah, right. So I just find that, it all worked out. It all worked out just fine in terms of having, you know, 2.5 months is really enough time to write a book if that's what you're going to be doing.
Yep.
If you decide that you really are going to do it now. I mean, the first article I wrote, Rochelle, took a year to write.
Wow.
I mean, that's pathetic, you know, and now we're talking about, you know, you wrote a book over Thanksgiving. I wrote a book in 6 weeks. Okay, this is, you know, that's amazing. So,
yeah.
But then from that point to the publishing point, so you get your contract in June, the book is due, and most of the time it's not due, it's not that sort of a timeline. You get a contract and it's maybe a year later, but that your book is due or 9 months. I don't know what your experience has been, but it varies. But even from then, most publishers want a year from the time the completed manuscript is in their hands to the time it hits the market. They want a year to get that ready. So,
when did this book come out then?
It came out in July of 07.
So it really was a whole year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It really was. It was, well, yeah, it was 11 months.
So you're talking, you know, from idea to book, 4 or 5 years.
It can be, yeah. It can be. And then the next book, I got the idea and I wrote it and turned it in within about a 9 month period. So
that's your 11th book, and that's coming out when?
I think it'll be out in September.
Okay, of next year.
Right, right. We don't have a title yet, so I can't even. I can't even give any...
So you can't plug yourself yet.
I can't even give any advanced thoughts on it.
stay tuned to Jane's website because that will tell you all about it.
Right.
Well, what advice do you have for people who are starting out and they want to write for the Christian nonfiction market? What do you tell them?
Well, first of all, don't give up on it if it seems like it's too hard or it's too big or you're not good enough. I'm a firm believer in if you have the thought that you need to be writing, that is probably God-given.
Hmm.
You need to just listen to that. And I hold on to the verse in 1 Thessalonians, faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass.
Hmm.
So I figure if God has called me to write, then God is going to make it happen if I can be faithful. So that's what I would say. Don't give up. But do get the tools you need to get in print. Get to a writer's conference, and if you want to be published in the Christian market, then get the Christian Writer's Market Guide. It comes out every year. It's absolutely indispensable. It's your Bible.
Yeah.
Being published, because it has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of publishers in there, and all of the magazines, and it has wonderful indices of, you know, by subject and by top, by classification and, and by audience. It's a very excellent tool. So get your tools, get this book, and then get your rear end sitting down and start doing it.
Yeah.
I think the best example I have is my son, who's 16, my office is in our family room, which I find has a variety of benefits. But one night I came in and I had something that I just had to write and it wasn't coming and I just was not breaking through that blank page terror. And he's sitting at the other computer saying, "Oh, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say." And I said, "Okay, let's look at that clock. All right, when the second hand hits 12, we're going to just start writing. And you're just it doesn't matter what you say, you just write. And okay, ready, go." And so we did. So we've got, and so we wrote, I said, it's 10 minutes, we're just going to write for 10 minutes. We stopped at 10 minutes. I had the first three paragraphs for the whatever it was I was trying to write, and he had broken through and had the lead for his essay.
Wow, great.
And so you think what it really takes is just getting anything down, even if it's bad.
Yeah.
And then just stick with it. That movie, Finding Forrester, is just a wonderful tool. Did you see that?
I did. It's kind of old. Is that correct?
It is quite old, yeah. But it's just, it was, I remember being impressed with the mentor that this young man found and how he broke through that terror of trying to write.
Yeah, I remember that being really helpful. I'll have to get it again and try it.
Yeah. And then I guess I would also say, what did you say? You, in your most recent e-letter, that failure teaches you something that you need to know to succeed.
Yeah.
And so, so you got rejected. Just take it at face value. This didn't meet our needs. All right, well then, figure out why it didn't, or write it so that it does, or send it somewhere else, or, but don't let that. Failure is not going to be fatal. It's going to make you, if you can just pay attention and keep going and learn from it. So,
well, that's helpful advice.
Well, I got an award for having the most rejections letters in a room full of writers. Anybody who's had more than 40 rejections this year, stand up. And I'm like, the only one. Okay. And you know what that says? It says that you're writing and you're trying to get published. So.
Yep, I always say that the thickness of your rejection package shows the amount of work you're putting in.
Yeah.
It's just information.
It is. The challenge is to pay attention to it. Don't keep trying to get the same thing published that's been rejected 36 times without paying attention to what the feedback you're getting. I mean, it worked for Madeline Lingle, actually, with Wrinkle in Time. Wasn't that like, it was like 36
times. Yeah, it was like 30-something.
But who knows what sort of tweaking she did in between. And meanwhile, she kept writing other stuff.
Yeah.
Don't just have one pet manuscript that, and that's the only thing that you want to get in print. You just got to keep going because you have more to say than that.
Wow. Well, that's great, Jane. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm curious, because you're also a speaker and you do quite a bit of speaking throughout the year. So talk about, you know, what might be helpful for a writer who also wants to launch a speaking career, and then maybe how they're related to each other.
Oh, they really do go hand in hand, because when you are writing, your audience is faceless.
Hmm.
You know, unless you have venues where you are with these people, the people who are going to read your stuff, it's very, I think it would be hard to write for them.
Hmm.
Writing puts you in the arena where people have real needs, they have real problems, they have real faces. And so when I'm writing, I'm thinking of the woman I met in Minnesota or in Texas or in California, because I see her and I think, this is what I would tell her now. You know, this is what I would say to that young mom who got married at 15, who, you know, had a baby at 15, and now she's 28 and her husband's lost his faith. Here's what I would say, you know, and so you have, so there's that. It really does help, but what I find, too, is that speaking really will help promote your writing.
Hmm.
And you, I frankly, I cannot live on advances and royalty checks, but you can sell a ton of books through your writing, through your speaking time.
Wow.
You know, so it is a tremendous advantage in that respect. But more than anything, one of the big advantages is, yes, it helps supplement your income. But what it really does is it raises your profile, makes you more attractive to the publishers, because they want writers who are going to be marketing their own stuff.
So in a sense, it gives you your platform.
It gives you a platform. That's right, and that's what they're looking for. So. So all of those things combined, if you can string some words together that actually are deliverable and make a difference, and, you know, without passing out, it gets easier. I really do promise that it gets easier and easier to do it. So I would say go for it, because you will only get better. You'll be a better writer if you are speaking as well. And if you are speaking, you'll be a better speaker if you start writing, I think.
So what kind of advice would you give someone who wanted to start speaking and, you know, just was kind of not sure where to begin?
Yeah, two things. The two things that somebody, say you call the Women's Club, or you call the Business and Professional Women's, or you call the, you know, whoever it is, and you say, I'd like to speak for your group. The two questions: what do you speak on, and can you send me some information? And so You need at least three subjects that you could speak on. You don't have to write them yet. You don't have to write your talks yet, but three subjects that you would love to speak about, or maybe the stuff you've written on or you want to write on. And I will often do that. I will put together a talk because I know I want to write about this later. And then once I get a book out, I put together talks and whole retreats based on those books, because I've already done all that work and I want to be able to put it into into spoken word. You know? So, but you make get your three ideas, get yourself two sentences that you can say about those three ideas, that you, and a title for those talks, and you say, this is what I speak on. You don't have to say, pretty soon I'm going to speak on it, or I would speak on it if I had a gig, or you don't have to do that. You just tell them, this is what I speak on. You know, make sure it'll fit that group, and then put together an info sheet. And if you go to my website, there's JaneRubietta.com. You can just download my info sheet there, and you know, the elements in there are things that are real helpful to use in an info sheet. So it doesn't have to be that. It can be a threefold paper, you know, but it's got to have your why they want to hire you, what kind of groups would hire you, what you speak about, and contact information.
That's great.
Don't put in there what you charge, because that's going to change.
Because that what changes?
That can change. That will change as the more you speak. And also, I mean, shoot, somebody may want to pay you $500 and you were going to put $100 on your brochure. Don't do that. You don't want to limit yourself. Maybe somebody wants to pay you a lot more than you think you're worth. Go for it.
Yeah.
So leave that as negotiable, because situations change. And sometimes you do things because you know you're supposed to, and you may not get paid very well for them, but it's a good thing to do, you know.
Yeah. We just have a couple minutes left, Jane, so do you have a last tip or thought that you would like to leave with our writers?
I guess I what keeps coming back to me is Winston Churchill's great line, never give up, never give up. If you have words in you that you think might need to be written down or spoken, don't quit on them just because it gets hard or you don't have all the answers in front of you. Just don't give up. Just keep trying. Get yourself in places where people are publishing. Get yourself around people who write. Get yourself in a writer's group. I don't think I'd be doing what I'm doing now, this many years later, if I had. I'm in a writer's group that meets every month.
Wow.
We've been doing that for 15 and a half years.
Wow.
Yeah. So all those things, I would just say, get it going. Get rid of some of the stuff in your life that's bogging you down and, it's eating up your time, and make time for this, because it's part of what you're dying to do.
Oh, that's so helpful. I'm inspired. I'm sure our listeners are inspired too.
Well, good. It's my favorite thing.
Yeah, mine too. Thank you so much for spending time.
Well, Shel, thank
talking
you.
Today.
Great. This is a great thing you're doing. I really appreciate it. Love it.
Love it. Well, I'm glad to have you here. This has been another edition of Always Right with Rochelle, the Right Now Coach. You can find a link to Jane's website and her books at my website, rightnowcoach.com. Thanks for tuning in, and remember to always write.